This is episode number 89 of the Fearless Presentations podcast, the fastest, easiest way to eliminate public speaking fear.
Want to absolutely eliminate public speaking fear? This podcast is the answer. Here's the guy who literally wrote the book on fearless presentations, Doug Stannert.
Welcome to the Fearless Presentations podcast. I'm Doug Stannert, CEO of the Leaders Institute and Fearless Presentations. And this is the podcast that helps people just like you become confident and poised presenters and speakers. This is podcast number 89. And on this week, I'm going to share with you a really simple way to deliver what's called an elevator speech, in some cases an elevator pitch. So if you've only got a few seconds with a decision maker and you really want to persuade this person to listen to you for a longer period of time, this process can be very, very helpful. You can use this technique, by the way, on job interviews or if you need to get your boss to approve a project, or if you're an entrepreneur or a salesperson and you're trying to find new customers or clients. So lots of different situations where you can use this. And at the end of the podcast, I'm going to give you a web address where you can actually download a handout that will help you kind of organize an elevator speech a little bit more easily and more quickly. So the podcast is brought to you by Fearless Presentations. And if you want some really valuable one-on-one coaching to help you apply the concepts from the podcast, then I would invite you to attend one of our two-day classes that are coming up in cities like Philadelphia, Columbus, New York, Detroit, New Orleans, Nashville, Atlanta, St. Louis, Dallas, Los Angeles, Las Vegas, Baltimore, and Denver. So if I didn't call your city, just go to fearlesspresentations.com to access the full schedule. And also don't forget that we conduct private classes for groups of as few as five people. And you get a really significant discount on the custom classes as well. So for details, just go to fearlesspresentations.com. All right, let's get on with today's podcast. So the title of today's podcast is the elevator speech. It's basically an elevator speech template. So how do you create that 30-second commercial for yourself? And so if you're looking for a template for an elevator pitch, I'll kind of give you one of those. So these things are called a lot of different things. They're called 30-second commercials, elevator speeches, elevator pitches. And so if you need one of these for yourself or for your company, you can use this as a guide. So this type of presentation is really critical when you've got to grab a person's attention in a real positive way, and time is just really short. So we're going to cover a brief history of the concept and how it came into, the lexicon of our verbiage around the world. And then we're also going to give you a few examples and some template to follow. So let's kind of talk with the history first. Because the term elevator speech or elevator pitch, it's been being used in the business world. It's been used in the business world anyway for maybe 40 years or so. And it's really hard to pin down exactly who coined the phrase or who first used it. But I was able to identify a Dr. Graham Wilson. He wrote an article called The History of the Elevator Pitch. And in that, he credited Philip Crosby, who was a quality manager back in the 70s and 80s, and he wrote a number of books. And one of the books that he wrote was The Art of Getting Your Own Sweet Way. And then the second edition of that, which was released in 1981, he said that if you really want to be a good quality manager, because at the time quality managers weren't getting a lot of face time with the high level executives, he said, if you really want to be good, you have to be able to create a pre-prepared speech selling the benefits of the new approach, basically that you could deliver in an elevator. If you happen to find yourself unexpectedly in the presence of a senior executive and you're only going to be there for a few floors. So basically that's kind of that's where the term kind of elevator pitch came from, because he used to use that jokingly as an example of, hey, if you're going to get FaceTime, you may only get a chance to just see them for 30 seconds or a minute on the elevator. So you want to be able to kind of get your idea across. And if you have that opportunity, you want to make the most of it. And so that's kind of where the concept came from, at least from nearest I can tell anyway. But by the early 1990s, though, the term had been adopted by sales trainers around the world. And in fact, the term elevator speech actually became synonymous with what we call on occasion now elevator pitch. So to just so you know, the reason why that happened is sales trainers, you know, taught you that you had to really be able to deliver what they call a value proposition quickly, meaning that you have to convince a prospect that you could benefit them in just a very few seconds. And with that being said, I mean, if you're thinking of a pitch in that way, then you're on the right track as far as being able to persuade people. I think a lot of times what happens, though, is that, you know, many salespeople, they as soon as they get an opportunity or they get that split second to communicate with somebody, even before they've even built any type of trust with a prospective prospect or anything, prospective customer, they pull out what I call the salesperson fangs. You know, basically they're kind of, the person just says hi back to them and they're, and they latch onto their neck with their salesperson fangs. And, you know, basically all they're doing is they're just jumping all over the unsuspecting listener. And when they do this, they're trying to force a sales pitch. And that especially a sales pitch that's not really of no interest to the listener. It's just, I mean, obviously if somebody's doing this, then their quote unquote pitch is going to fail. So I would encourage you, don't do something like that. I mean, the whole point of an elevator pitch is to try to get the other person coming toward you, not pushing them away. So if you think about that, the purpose of the, you know, what we're calling an elevator speech is it's really to get the person hearing the speech to want to hear more. I mean, that's really, if you kind of boil it down, that's really all we're trying to get. We're not trying to sell them. We're not trying to force anything on them. We're just trying to get them to kind of open up and say, oh, tell me more about that, right? So our elevator speech template that I'm going to give you, it's going to encourage the listener to actually want to hear more. And in addition, the listener will often ask you to explain the concepts in more detail if you do it really well. So basically, they're going to ask you to tell them more about that thing that you really want to talk about anyway. So if you happen to be in sales and you're looking for a way to get potential customers to come to you, then this will work really, really well for you. So the other concept is the 60-second commercial, or what I call the 30-second commercial. So eventually what happened was the concept of the elevator pitch was replaced by the term the 60-second commercial. And the reason why it was called the 60-second commercial is because Crosby's original concept was a one-minute long speech. You know, that, I mean, the elevator, you're not going to be on an elevator with somebody any more than a minute. So that was the time frame that he kind of set up for it. So that's how it kind of got started. But the original concept that Crosby came up with was that 1 minute long speech. You know, sales trainers use the same concept in networking situations. So if you're at a business card exchange and you want to be able to explain what you do quickly, you know, then a 60-second commercial would be a good way to do that. So the elevator speech became synonymous with a promotional introduction, or, you know, they just renamed it the 60-second commercial. In fact, I mean, I remember going to networking events in the late 1990s, back when I was first starting out my career, and really in the early 2000s when I started the Leaders Institute. And at the time, we were taught, you know, to practice, before you actually go into a business card exchange, you want to practice a really, really good 60-second commercial. And you had to get really good at it, you know, by the way, and that's what they will tell you. You have to get really, really good at this. And if you did, then you're going to be able to pitch a random person that you just met and make them want to buy something from you, which is ridiculous. I mean, I'm sure that on occasion someone was able to use this commercial and they just happened to use it on a person who was really in the market to buy what they were selling or something like that. And later that person actually bought. But I'd wager that most of the situations were pretty rare. I mean, if a person delivering the 60-second commercial was being pushy, it's going to be even more rare. So it was, so by the way, if it takes 60 seconds to explain what you do, you've likely already lost the listener, especially in today's world. So recently the concept has kind of been shortened down to a 30-second commercial, which, by the way, is the same amount of time that most commercials on the old TV shows were. They were 30-second commercials for a reason. That's why they were 30 seconds, not 60 seconds. So basically, that's kind of the history of where this came from. And if you kind of understand that, it makes it a little bit easier to see why a lot of folks have gotten kind of off track on, focusing more on making your 30-second commercial or your elevator pitch some kind of a sales pitch, right? Or elevator speech, some kind of sales pitch. It's really not what it should be. And you really want to get away from those concepts that kind of became big back in the early 2000s, the late 1990s, that kind of thing. Because especially since, number one, it never really worked anyway. And number two, the world has really changed. Today, if you're training your people to go out and do a 60-second commercial and they're trying to pitch people or sell people, man, good luck with that. That's not gonna really work. What you really want to do, though, is use the elevator speech as a way to bring people toward the concept that you're trying to get across to the audience. So if you think about it, you know, the old, it's old now, but the more modern type of marketing is permission marketing. You're getting people to ask you to tell them something. And that's, if you think about your elevator speech in that type of way, then you'll do a whole lot better. Get the people to kind of come to you. So I'm gonna kind of explain what I do in elevator speeches, and I'll give you a template. And by the way, we'll give you a link to the in the show notes. I'm gonna put a link to how to download a handout for this, so that you can just kind of fill in the blanks and create a really good 30-second commercial really, really quickly. So the elevator speech template. That basically, if you want to know how to create a 30-second commercial for yourself or for your company, this is a good way to do it. One key thing to making this practice really work is to be both genuinely interested in the other person, and also you want to get the other person to pull the information from you. So those two things are really, really key. So basically, you have to be interested in them. You can't just be pushy and not use any type of people skills or common sense. And then in addition to that, you also have to get them, do things to get them to pull information out of you. So a good analogy for this, by the way, is fishing. So I don't know of anybody that's ever caught a fish by dunking their head underwater and then telling the fish how great they were, right? I mean, that doesn't work. Nobody catches fish that way. So if you really want to catch a fish, you know, the first thing you have to do is offer the fish something that the fish wants. You know, it's got to be something that the fish goes, ooh, that looks yummy. I'm gonna eat that. In addition to that, you also have to, once you kind of give them that thing that they want, you're offering that thing to them that they want, then you have to wait. You have to wait for them to respond. They have to make the next move. So, and then finally, once they've made the next move, you may not want to set the hook really quickly. You know, you want to make sure that they're committed enough before you actually set the hook. So if you kind of think about the concepts that I'm going to give you in the next couple of minutes in that kind of metaphor, that kind of analogy, it'll make it a whole lot easier to implement this. So the 30-second commercial is really, really similar to that. I mean, obviously, except for the fact that the listener doesn't end up on, you know, grilled on a plate at the end of the process. So maybe this isn't the best analogy, but, you know, it'll work. You'll get the point. All right. So the very first thing that you want to do is give an introduction if necessary. So let's say you're at a business card exchange or something like that. Obviously, when you're meeting somebody for the first time, you want to introduce yourself, and that should be really, really quick. So when you introduce yourself, you want to keep that introduction really, really short. Basically, just give them your name, your company, and a very brief description of kind of what you do. So, for instance, for me, I just say something like, hey, I'm Doug Standard. I'm a professional speaker at the Leaders Institute. That's it. You know, I mean, that's all the introduction that I need. I've given my name, my company, and my profession, anyway, the thing that I do. And so remember that I'm not really trying to kind of pitch the person. I'm not trying to sell the person. And especially if I'm meeting the person for the first time, I really want the person to ask me more questions about myself. So by starting with an opening like this, I'm leading the person to ask me more. So like, for instance, I know that most people have never heard of the Leaders Institute. Unless you've listened to my podcast, unless you've been through one of our training programs. Now, obviously, we've got probably in the last 20 years that we've been around, I bet we've had over 100,000 customers, maybe something like that. I mean, so we're talking a lot of people that have had exposure to the Leaders Institute. But if I ask 20 random people on the street what they know about the Leaders Institute, and there's a good chance none of those 20 people have actually been to one of my programs. So by just saying the name of my company, a lot of times that can lead to another question. So instead of me saying, well, I'm with the Leaders Institute and we do blah, 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 and we give them like 15 things that the Leaders Institute does, I just say I'm with the Leaders Institute. And what that does most often, it's going to make the other person that's listening to me say, oh, really? What's the Leaders Institute? What do you guys do? Now I'm bringing them to me, right? I'm getting them to ask me questions. And that's really what you want to do. The other thing I put as my, I didn't put I'm the CEO of the Leaders Institute, or I'm an author. You know, I didn't say something like that. What I did was I said I'm a professional speaker. I didn't say I'm a teacher. I didn't say I'm a trainer. I said I'm a professional speaker. The reason why I would say I'm a professional speaker is people would go, professional speaker? You can actually make a living speaking? You know, I mean, that's kind of the question that a lot of people will have in their mind just by using that phrase. And so all I'm doing is using a phrase in that introduction that makes them want to ask me questions, you know. So basically, just by me putting that little short introduction together, I've now made it possible for the person to ask me two different questions. So, well, really, when you say professional speaker, what does that mean? Or what did you do? What do you do? Or if they hear the Leaders Institute, they go, what is the Leaders Institute? I've never heard of that before, right? So it gives them an opportunity to kind of ask me a question. That's really what you want them to do. So the second thing is, once they ask you this question, you want to focus on a problem that you solve for people, or a problem that you want to solve for people. So a big mistake that a lot of people make is they pull out those salesperson things that I was talking about before. And they would say something like, well, let me tell you, the Leaders Institute is an international training company specializing in leadership, presentation skills, and team building events. We conduct as many as 300 public speaking classes every single year. We've also trained over 100 professional speakers. In addition, we've had over 30,000 people participate in every year in our team building activities. So would you like me to send you some information about our public speaking classes or our team building activities? It's like all of a sudden the person is looking at you going, what the hell? What? Man. And they're like, they're kind of backing off. You know, it's funny, but I've heard people do something just like that. And I can tell you that is death if you're trying to build rapport with somebody. Most people want to talk about themselves. So just be very, very careful about being too pushy. So a lot of times if you do that, by the way, the person, and they may still be polite, but they're going to quickly try to distance themselves from you. So going back to the fishing example, you know, you basically got a tiny nibble on the first little piece of bait that you put out there, and then you jerk the line, and now the fish is scared and is going to be going away. So instead, you want to kind of tease the fish a little, you know, so you want to give them another taste of the bait. The best way that I've ever found to do this is to tell the person how you can solve a problem that person can really relate to. So for instance, in my own case, if somebody says, so what does the Leaders Institute do? Or if they say, you said a professional speaker, like what do you speak on? Or what kind of topics do you speak on? Either one of those questions still helps me get into my problem statement, because I can say something like, well, I basically help people eliminate public speaking fear. And then I shut up. I don't say anything else. So basically, I'm putting another piece of bait out there, and I'm waiting for them to kind of tug on the bait just a little bit more. So most likely, if I say something like, I help people eliminate public speaking fear. I mean, what do you think they're going to say at that point? They're going to say, really, how do you do that? You know, so now all of a sudden they're asking me now to tell them what I do. So it's a whole lot easier to kind of build rapport with somebody, or to kind of talk about yourself or talk about your expertise by getting the other person to kind of pull it out of you. And so this technique works really, really well. Now, just so you know, one of the best ways to kind of get somebody to ask you about whatever it is that you do. So like, for instance, when I said before, you know, I'm a professional speaker with the Leaders Institute. Let's just say that they don't respond with a question, most likely they're going to respond back to you by telling you what they do as well. And so if there's kind of a short pause there and they don't take the reins and ask you a question, you can always just ask them the question that you want asked of you. So if you don't know what their company is, you say, so tell me about your company. I've never heard of that before. What do you do there? Or if they tell you their title, you know, I'm a marketing manager. Oh, really? What does a marketing manager do? What do you do as a marketing manager? So basically, whatever it is that you want them to ask of you, just ask it of them. And a lot of times you'll get a pretty good response, because as soon as they finish answering the question for you, they're like, oh, I should ask this person something about himself or herself too. What can I ask them? Oh, I can ask them the same question. And it works really, really well, by the way. So just kind of keep that in mind. So the third step is to tell a quick emotional story. So somebody says, so why exactly do you do that, right? This is where the actual 30-second commercial actually starts. Up until this point, we've just made a little bit of banter between the two people. The actual 30-second commercial starts when you tell a quick emotional story. So the best commercials that I've ever seen on TV anyway, or the ones that are on YouTube now, the ones that really kind of capture attention, are the ones that they're short. They're only, 20, 30 seconds long. And they tell a story of some type. There's something that kind of whips you in by giving you a quick little story. And you can do the same thing in your elevator pitches. So whatever the problem is that you said that you've solved, just give them a 30-second example of a time that you did that before. So for instance, if I was going to do this, if somebody says, so Doug, you said you basically help people reduce public speaking fear. How the heck do you do that? Well, let me give you an example. A few weeks ago, Whole Foods had me actually fly into Miami to coach a team of their regional managers. And the leader on that team was very charismatic, energetic speaker. And so the managers who worked under him were a little self-conscious about speaking, especially when he was in the room speaking up in front of a group. So basically, I just helped them have a series of mini successes that we built on. I'd teach them how to do something, let them have a success with it, and then they do it, and have that success, and then we kind of build on it. And by the end of the training with them, basically they were presenting better than a professional speaker would. And the boss was just shocked. He came up to me at the end of the program and just told me how well everybody had done, and said he was going to recommend me to Whole Foods corporate in Austin. So that's just an example, but it's fun. So basically, I just kind of tell a quick little story. I don't have to give a whole lot of details, but enough details that they can actually start to kind of paint a picture. So I can do that in 30 seconds, 40 seconds, something like that. And a lot of times it works really well. So now, of course, if you pick an example that is closely related to the listener, then that's going to work a whole lot better. So if I'm speaking to a person in the tech industry, I might give them an example of some training that I did for Hewlett Packard or Microsoft or Google, So by the way, yep, I actually did presentation training for the people who created PowerPoint, which was kind of fun. So if you pick or match that example to the industry or what you think that person is going to relate to, then they'll get much better value out of it. All right. So the last thing that you want to do in this elevator pitch is what I call the subtle takeaway. Now, you don't want to be totally overt on this. And so some sales trainers out there will actually tell you that you have to, you got to really take it away. It's just a subtle takeaway works really, really well. So basically what we've done so far is we've had them pull the information from us. They've asked us questions and we've just answered the questions that they've asked. Now we've triggered something in them to make them want to ask those questions, but so far the listener, the person who's asking us the question has been in control. So what we want to do is kind of take it away just a little bit so it doesn't sound like we're being pushy or it doesn't sound like we're trying to sell them something. Basically, what sales trainers will actually teach their students a lot of times is you always have to ask for the close. And in presentation training, the type of training that I do, we encourage speakers to create a call to action. So when you're finished with that speech, give them a call to action. Basically, you want people to implement the content or do something as a result of the speech. And so when we're doing an elevator pitch, we don't want to be pushy. So we're not necessarily going to ask for the close. So we're not going to say, so do you want to take one of my public speaking classes? We're not going to do something like that. That would just, we've only been speaking with this person for like less than a minute at this point. So the rapport is not really there yet. So a subtle takeaway can really help in that situation. So for instance, so instead of me closing with, so do you want to take one of my my presentation skills training programs? Then I'll be more subtle. I might say something like, I guess that working for, you know, and I would name the listener's company, that your team is full of really highly skilled presenters. So I doubt they would need the kind of help that I offer though, huh? So it's like, I'm telling them, you don't really need what I got. Yeah, I mean, I train a lot of people, but yeah, it wouldn't be really good for you. So basically by doing that, the moment that I get the listener to disagree with me at that point, well, I win, right? So basically the moment that person says, oh my God, no, our speakers suck. They're terrible, crazy. Really? Okay. So tell me more. And then now I've gotten the speaker now to tell me about a need that he or she has that I can fulfill now. So now it helps me kind of move more into more of an opportunity. Now I'm still not going to try to sell the person at that first meeting, but it will allow me to set up a future meeting. It will allow me to make a connection that might lead to a customer or a client or a project or whatever it is that I'm trying to pitch. So let me give you some examples of these. Let's just say that I'm a manager and I've only got a couple of seconds to promote a new project that I need funding for. I've only got a few seconds with an executive and I have to get the funding for this. So let's say that funding is 10 grand in capital. That's what I need. To make this project work, I'm gonna need $10,000 from my boss. So if I just happen to see the boss around the water cooler or in the kitchen or something like that, I say, hey boss, it's Doug from Software R&D. You know, so I'm still doing an intro because, you know, if I'm working for a big company, this guy may not remember who I am. But if not, obviously if he knows who I am, I would kind of cut that part out. So, hey, you know, we've been working on a software glitch that's causing customer service to not be able to really pull up the customer records on a quick basis. And in fact, Joe in customer service has determined that we're losing about $5,000 a month from this glitch. But I think we found a solution to this. And then I pause, right? So at that point, now I'm gonna get him to, you know, obviously the boss is gonna say at that point, really, how? What'd you do? What's the solution? So basically I'm getting the boss to kind of pull it from me. So I give a quick little emotional story that's gonna show the need for the funding. So, well, boss, let me give you an example. So last week we got a call from a customer wanting to cancel a service, and the customer service rep was able to save the customer by scheduling a tech to come out first thing in the next morning, but the tech never showed. So the customer was irate. Not only did the customer call us back later that day and cancel, but had a few choice curse words for the rep that actually got him the second time. So we really have no chance of ever winning this customer back. And if you think about our average customer stays with us 3 years, and if we're losing $150 a month, that's about $4,000 lifetime that we lost on that single customer. And Joe has mentioned that we've lost about $5,000 just this month, which means that if you think about the lifetime of the customer, that's a lot. I mean, we're talking about a lot of money. So if we're able to kind of solve this glitch, what I think we can do just by purchasing a new scheduling app, then we'll probably be able to save us, you know, tens of thousands of dollars over the next year. The scheduling app that we've kind of identified it's basically going to be about a $10,000 investment though. So at that point, that's basically the story part, right? So then I do the subtle takeaway. So it may take us a while to budget the $10,000, oh boss. So we could probably get the new scheduling app in about, I don't know, maybe 6 months. What do you think? So basically what I'm doing at that point is I'm getting the boss to say, 6 months, what the hell? What? You know, if we're losing that much, we're talking, you just built it up that we're going to be losing, you know, tens of thousands of dollars for every month that this thing's out of commission, and 6 months, we got to wait another 6 months to actually fix this thing. Holy crap. You need to do this like right now. We got to do this much faster. Oh, okay, great. Thanks, boss. I'll do that. Right. So basically it's the same technique that we kind of talked about before in more of a a networking type thing, but you know, with a little bit different result, a little bit different focus. Let me kind of give you one more example before we go, and I'll give you the one that's kind of really common, because when I first started doing leadership training, and especially right here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area where I live, I used to do a lot of stuff with chambers of commerce and that kind of thing. And one of the things that I noticed that a lot of the folks who kind of frequent the business card exchanges locally are going to be folks that are doing, you know, more of a, if they're business to business type sales, it's most likely it's going to be an entrepreneur who is maybe only needs another entrepreneur to buy something from. So you'll find like financial planners and insurance people, you know, really heavily in the business card exchanges. And so it's really difficult to set yourself apart from everybody else. I mean, the first time I went to a chamber of commerce meeting, and there was, you know, 20 or 30 people, and 10 of them were insurance guy folks. They would kind of stand up and introduce themselves and say, "Well, I'm Bob, and I'm with Farmers Insurance, and we do home, health, auto, and just about anything that you would need with insurance." And then he would sit down, and the person next to him would say, "Well, I'm Jane, and I'm with State Farm Insurance, and we do home, life, health, auto, you know, basically any." It was basically the same thing over and over and over again. Nobody was really differentiating themselves. So the example I'm going to give you here is for like a financial planner. So let's say that a financial planner is at a business card exchange, and this person is actually looking for new clients. So instead of saying, "Hey, I'm a financial planner," focus more on the problem that you solve, and then come up with a job title or a job description that kind of encompasses the solution. So here's a real example. So, "Hey, I'm Doug Standard, and I'm a retirement specialist for Edward Jones." So at that point, I'm hoping somebody will say, the person I'm talking to will say, "Retirement specialist? What do you mean by retirement specialist?" I didn't say stockbroker, and I didn't say financial planner, because everybody knows that that's somebody who's just going to try to sell them stocks or sell them mutual funds or whatever it is, right? So I'm a retirement specialist, and I want the person to say, "Retirement specialist, what the heck is that?" So basically, I help people retire young enough so that they can still enjoy their wealth. And then I shut up, right? So really, how the heck do you do that? Well, let me give you an example. You know, back in 2008, I had a family who had been investing with me for about, I don't know, maybe 15 years or so. And the couple at the time were in their mid-40s. And they were just preparing for, you know, just normal retirement at 65. Well, I started noticing that there was a lot of uncertainty in the market. So I suggested that they pull out a lot of their funds that were based on the stock market. And then after the crash, we reinvested that in a really low market, and I almost tripled their nest egg in about 5 years. So I got a postcard from them just recently from St. Thomas. It was a few weeks ago, and they both retired at 55, and they've been enjoying themselves for a few years now. Now, you, obviously, you've been preparing for retirement for decades, so I doubt that story is really exciting to you, though, right? So basically, I'm just kind of subtly taking it away. I'm hoping the person will go, "Heck no, man, I need that too," right? So basically, the point is to get them to come to you. Remember, focus on the problem that your listener wants to solve, and then show them how you can help them solve it. You can't push a rope. However, if you can convince the other person to kind of pull the rope, then you'll be moving closer to them. So use this technique, or this elevator speech, as a way to get people to open up and ask you questions about what you do that you can help them solve problems with. So anyway, hopefully that's helpful. I mentioned at the beginning that I was gonna give you the link, and it's actually easier if you just go to fearlesspresentations.com, go to fearlesspresentations.com. In the search bar, it's on every page. Just type in elevator speech and it'll come up. When you get to the show notes, go down to the bottom of the page, fill out the form, and you can click the link to access the handout. It'll make it really, really easy for you to kind of customize this for the specific needs that you have. So we'll see you next week on the Fearless Presentations Podcast.
Subscribe to this podcast for new public speaking secrets each week.